Chicago Cubs postgame show on the station that knows the Cubs the best.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to True Blue Playoff Plus from Wintrust, home of Cubs checking on 720 WGN.
Take it in, Cubs fans. A reminder that this team is different. It took a furious ninth inning comeback, but for the second straight year, your Cubs are headed to the National League Championship Series.
We just witnessed the greatest moment, in my opinion, in Cubs history, to be down three runs in a game where you can advance to the NLCS. I mean, it's not exactly a tall tree here of great Cub moments, let's be honest, but this was completely out of left field. You're down 5-2 in the ninth. I'm looking at the weather, what's going to be Thursday night. I've had a meltdown since the first inning. And they score three in the ninth. They score four in the ninth inning to beat the San Francisco Giants, who had won 10 straight elimination games. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight, team.
Okay.
A lot of fun.
Now, you say it. You see, this team is special and different than others. Look at the guys that got it done.
Yep.
Wilson Contreras.
That move was genius. A genius
get
move.
Get Romo out of the game.
You
burn Coughlin just to get the matchup you wanted.
Yeah.
You burn two guys to get the perfect matchup. Another Madden moment for the Chicago Cubs.
That you had your five hitter Addison Russell, who drove in 90 plus runs, who didn't have a good playoff series.
Not at all.
And here we go. We're going to pinch hit Chris Coughlin. We're going to outmanage you, Bruce Bochy. I want Wilson Contreras at the plate right here, and he comes through.
All right.
My God.
Here's the deal. This is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking. My name is Adam Hoge. The crazy guy sitting across from me is Mark Carman. We love him, and he did have a meltdown. It was actually awkward at times, Andy, watching this game tonight with him. Yeah, but I felt so happy for him and all you Cubs fans out there that are going through what you're going through right now, because as Carm just said, I mean, this really is a special moment in Chicago Cubs history. The way in which they came back and won this game to get to the next round. Carm, you called it un-Cub-like, and it kind of is. It kind of is. And we're here for you now until 2 a.m. right here on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We will take your calls into the wee hours of the morning, and we are happy to take them. And we'll also get you plenty of coverage from San Francisco. We have Kevin Powell out there. He's covered in the locker room right now. We'll get you all the reaction from Joe Maddon, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, Javi Baez, the guys, the heroes tonight, and take your phone calls as well.
That the reaction on the Wilson Contreras base hit up the middle, they're showing Zobrist going nuts. They're showing Lester going crazy. Russell, who was pinch hit for, goes crazy himself. I mean, that the essence of team right there. It was just, and just the way, you know, as we're watching them celebrate on the field, there's an old school feel to the way this team has come together and how much support they have for one another. It's really amazing.
And what a difference 24 hours makes. With the life and times of Aroldis Chapman.
Hey guys,
and the
me,
life and times.
Guys, sorry, let me interrupt here real quick. They're talking to Joe Maddon out on the field right now.
Right.
Who I've known for a while is outstanding. Might be the best game I've ever seen a pitch. I've seen the pitch a lot. You see that group and how they respond to pressure situations. And talking about the Giants, they're fabulous. So that makes it even better to have that opportunity to beat them under these circumstances here, because I respect them that much.
I know you say you're lucky to be part of this, but don't you think you foster a lot of this attitude and this whole celebratory thing while you're working?
Well, I try to be myself, and if that rubs off, that's a good thing. I think it's something I've always kind of been this way ever since I was a kid, and it's just I have a chance to be a manager now.
Man, go get him.
All right, man. Thank
you. I've never seen a comeback like this in a high.
So, guys, there you have it. Cubs manager Joe Maddon following tonight's 6-5 win. They're on to the NLCS.
And we will get you Joe Maddon's entire press conference once he gets to the podium and have plenty of reaction in the locker room as well. I hope Kevin Powell brought his goggles to San Francisco. I hope he's prepared for what he's about to experience.
Yeah, this is a lot of times, you know, covering the 0-3 situation there, this is a time when not a lot of champagne goes between your lips and gets down to your stomach. You usually wear it. And it's cold, let me tell you, from firsthand experience. But I tell you what, nothing feels as good as when you're in that winning locker room and your ball club is moving on.
I really, it's just, this is a whole new reality. It really is. For the Chicago, on the road, you're, I mean, Cub fans, let's be honest, there was a full panic, at least maybe it's just me, maybe I'm a paranoid guy over here, but there was a full panic, game five against the Giants at home. I mean, all that's going on. And this team comes back in the ninth with four. Are you kidding me?
They had two hits all game. Hits all game coming into the inning.
It was really looking bad there, and Matt Moore was really had gotten into a groove.
He did.
Late in this game. It looked like the Cubs had no chance, but he was up to 120 pitches. So Bruce Bochy makes the move, doesn't go to Romo right away.
That's what I want to find out, because I'd like to know why. With 120 pitches and potentially, you have no idea how your ninth inning is going to swing. You have no idea one way or the other. What's the harm if you're Bruce Bochy of starting him in the ninth inning to see if he can continue this mastery? You've got Romo.
You're saying keep Moore in the game?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely going to be second guessing himself on that for whatever reason.
Because Moore hasn't pitched since.
I mean,
he's fresh, and they were. I was listening. I was listening to the national broadcast on the way in. Most he had thrown this year was 116, I want to say.
Okay,
but he had 113, 112, 100, like all 100 plus.
But it's been at least 9-10 days since he last pitched,
and he was mastering the Cubs' bats.
And bottom line, listen, it's game four of the NLDS. You burn every last bullet if the guy,
because you never know.
And you know, Romo last night threw 32 pitches. Strickland threw 19 pitches. Law threw 35 pitches. He didn't have it at all. Will Smith, who also gave up the base hit to Contreras, was out there. He threw 9 pitches. So, but bottom line, all these guys worked last night.
Yeah.
So. I agree. I think Bruce Bochy should have stayed with Matt Moore. But bottom line, though, I mean, you have a 3-run lead in the ninth inning.
You don't expect that to happen.
No, but the Giants' bullpen's been terrible all season. I mean, going into the series, this was the Achilles heel, yep. and it showed up at the worst time for them.
Well, let's get the celebration started right now. Miguel, you are on the air first with us tonight on True Blue Playoff Plus. What's up, Miguel?
Carmano, one word. Hell yeah. After that comeback win, Carmano eating Lou Mal's right now. Going to go to the cubby, snap a photo, and walk out. Out. Great show.
Thank you, Miguel.
Hey, guys, Tom Ricketts is talking to our partners at WGN-TV right now.
Best regular season team. It doesn't always translate to the post. You guys were down and not looking good. And I'm not sure, I was saying earlier, I'm not sure I've ever seen a rally quite like that in the ninth inning on the road of playoff.
You know, it starts off with, you know, Riz and KB and Riz just do what they do and making sure they get on base. Ben comes through with a big hit. And then how about the young guys, Contreras and Baez? Adam, incredible.
You know, no fear. I mean, there is no fear out there.
No, absolutely not. I think the guys know that they have what it takes to win. They had to string a few hits together to get there, but what an incredible finish.
It really was. Well, go enjoy it. I know you're going inside.
So there you go, guys. Cubs owner Tom Ricketts. And what's really cool about that scene is that he's in among the Cubs fans that have remained at AT&T Park, and there are many of them there.
Oh, there always is. They love to celebrate on the road. You know, they traveled out there.
I mean, sing it loud, sing it proud. I love hearing a Go Cubs, Go Champ behind a Tom Ricketts with a Dan Rohn. At 11:17 on the night that the Cubs come back from 3 down in the ninth to advance to the NLCS. And by the way, very sweet, the Nationals and Dodgers got to play a game five. Yep. You can set up your rotation. Lester's going to be ready to go. Here we go.
And, you know, throw out all the 10 straight games now in an elimination game wins for the Giants. Even your curse has been broken.
Yep.
So, you know, let's focus on the reality here. Let's focus on the fact that the two teams that are battling it out in the other ALDS, or the NLDS, not only are they playing a fifth game, but these are also two teams that have very suspect starting rotations.
And, yeah, I mean, to have that
to be at home.
The Dodgers win today was huge.
Yeah, and to start at home.
You start at home. And just in general, I think to have the Cubs experience what they did kind of in the last 24 hours,
mm-hmm.
to blow a lead, to lose that tough game last night, and then to come around tonight and really think things look as dire as it did, to fight back from that, this is exactly what this team needed. Because you had guys like Carm over here.
Blame it on me.
Well,
it's fine.
No, and you can speak. I'm 90% of this Cubs fan base probably thinking, here we go again. Here we go again. Not hitting in the playoffs. No chance they win on Thursday. And instead, this is why this team's different. They fight back with all these young kids, and they get it done.
I put out on Twitter, at the Carm, I never lost faith tonight, except when it was 1-0, 3-1, 5-2, 5-3. Yeah.
Well said.
When did you have faith?
He didn't.
That's what I mean.
I do believe that the Cubs have the best team in the playoffs. I believe that. And they have the best chance that they've ever had to win it. However, I also thought this was going to be their toughest series. You're going up against a seasoned, high-powered, at least at the front of their rotation, with Cueto and Bumgarner in a short series. I was worried about the Giants.
Yeah.
Super worried.
That's a great point.
And they overcame them.
This could have been the toughest first-round draw since the Hawks got the Blues last year in the NHL playoffs, because – you know, a lot of times, and you've seen the Blackhawks have this situation too. Sometimes your hardest series is your first or your second one. Now, again, I'm not going to overlook. I'm not that, you know, high and cocky here that I'm going to tell you that they're going to roll right through whoever comes in to play them in the NLCS. But, you know, you're talking about momentum now, and you're talking about a team that was being relatively shut down offensively. Let's be honest, most of the series.
Yep, no doubt. Here, let's say we can pull it up right now. I mean, what do they hit for the series? We'll go through each guy. It wasn't pretty.
No,
we'll come back from the break, and you can have those numbers. And as the playoffs roll on here, weeknights, WGN-TV presents Cubs Nightly, a nightly show for everything Cubs for as long as they're in the playoffs. Watch Cubs Nightly weeknights at 6 on WGN-TV. We will get to your phone calls as they... phones are lighting up to celebrate tonight.
And we'll hear from Madden. We'll hear from any player they have for you. We're going to give you everything we've got from AT&T Park as well.
And we'll have highlights from the big comeback as well. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number if you'd like to chime in via phone or text. This is True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs checking here on 720 WGN. An incredible ninth inning comeback, and the Cubs win 6-5. They close out the San Francisco Giants. Oh, it was not looking good for a while.
I am so proud of Wilson Contreras. Comes up mid-season, plays huge whenever he gets the opportunity, steps in left field, steps in behind the plate, runs out every ball, and gets an opportunity to pinch it for Addison Russell in the ninth inning and rolls one up the middle. I mean, what a stud. I love Contreras.
Well, let's talk about one of those plays in the ninth inning that's probably not going to get a whole lot of attention.
Jason Hayward's bunt.
The bunt and the horrible, horrendous throw by the shortstop, Brandon Crawford.
Who's a gold glove shortstop, by
the way.
Was
the bunt worse or the throw worse?
The throw was worse.
Because the bunt was awful.
So basically what it did, it ended up trading itself out. You know what I mean? It worked itself out because you got the out and you got a man at second base. You got a faster man on the base pass, so I guess in essence it worked out. But boy, what a terrible throw!
Hey guys, they're inside the locker room right now, and they're speaking to Cubs pitcher John Lester.
Such Mr. Excitement coming through in the clutch for you.
Yeah, I mean, seems like he does something every night to help us win, whether it's his batter or his defense, and he did it all again tonight. So, it's an unbelievable talent. I think what the first or second inning with his tag. I mean, it's a never-ending deal with him. It's unbelievable.
Talk about John Lackey and how he pitched tonight for you guys.
Terrible.
Set this whole thing up.
Yeah, it was a grind. You know, you could tell those guys were making him work. They're laying off some really tough pitches that he was throwing, and it seemed like anytime he made a mistake, they hit a ground ball through the hole. So we just, I mean, really, that's all we try to do as starting pitchers is keep our guys close. Our bullpen did a great job. A little bit of
Cubs GM Jed Hoyer.
That hissing you hear in the background, guys, are many bottles of champagne being uncorked. They're having a good time.
They got Jed Hoyer there too, Rob.
Yeah, let's go ahead and bring that up right now. Mark, thanks.
It might as well have been. Those guys picked us up huge. Obviously, Jake yesterday and Woody and Kyle. Today we had no pitcher help, so we were able to get by anyway.
But David Ross helped you out.
Exactly. Yeah, Rossi was huge. And, you know, don't discredit Rossi as far as, working the pitchers all night. You know, we did a pretty good job keeping at them at five runs. You know, I thought that they had great at-bats all night. They had a lot of hits, a lot of base runners. I think Rossi's leadership and our bullpen kept them at five runs, which allowed their comeback.
Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
The Cubs general manager, Jed Hoyer, who's also got a new deal.
I want to hit on something he just pointed out.
Yep.
David Ross, the guy that was basically an automatic out last year, double digits in home runs this year. And you could tell that he was absolutely gutting John Lackey through a subpar outing. He was gutting every other pitcher that came into the baseball game through whatever outing they had. And I don't know about you guys, I felt a whole lot better about Aroldis Chapman coming into the game with David Ross behind the plate than I did yesterday.
That's interesting. I did not like the move at the start of the game. I'm like, I'd rather have offense behind the plate tonight.
Yeah. Were you saying that after the home run?
No, I was sitting there thinking, JoJo Madden, you're the you're the king of the world.
Yeah, I love
guys,
the way you
here's,
think.
Here's tonight's starting pitcher, John Lackey.
I've never seen it like that. That was special. We've got a special group of guys, and they stepped up and came through again.
How you feeling right now?
Man, unbelievable. Like, that's I mean, you know, you go from a little down, not pitching away, we want to pitch, but then who cares, man? We won the game. So, hey, we're going to have some fun tonight.
No talk about Billy Goats and curses tonight.
Nah, forget that, man. I'm just happy.
Stop asking that question.
We're moving on.
When you guys go down in that inning down three, there seems to be no panic at all with this team.
Man, that's a great team over there, man. Obviously, with their tradition and the way they, won several championships recently. But, I mean, we're pretty dang talented. We got a team that can play. And the way those guys put together at-bats in that last inning, it was pretty incredible to watch.
You've been a part of so many big postseason games. I mean, as a baseball fan, I know it's hard to extract yourself from it, but the quality of these games and how fun they were.
Man, yeah, I would rather be like a fan watching those games. They've been a lot more fun. But, yeah, as a baseball fan, I'm sure they were awesome to watch. But when you're in the mix grinding, it's a little bit different feeling.
There you have it, Cubs pitcher John Lackey, guys.
That's the happiest I've ever seen that guy.
Yeah.
Those were some bizarre questions.
Yeah.
That's our buddy Pat Tomasulo there.
I love Pat Tomasulo.
Pat, stop asking about the goats. Okay?
He didn't ask that one. Okay, that, good. I think, was some – I don't know who that was, but
Pat,
it wasn't
sorry,
Pat.
It wasn't you. But no, it wasn't that was, stop asking about the goats.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we got to take a timeout, guys.
Just for the record, I would rather be John Lackey than us sitting here watching the game. I just want to think, I'm gonna put that on the record. To be hanging out and just watching it. It's cool, but this dude just was on the mound tonight. He pitched
not very well.
Hey, but you gutted it out. You got the win somehow.
It might be the happiest John Lackey's ever been. That was a happy Lackey.
Yes. That's definitely the happiest I've ever seen that guy. All right. 312-981-7200. We will sneak your phone calls in here. Mike, everyone else on hold, hang on there. We will get you. We're going to get plenty of locker room reaction as well. This is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. We keep the Cubs coverage rolling here on 720 WGN. Cubs beat the Giants 6-5. Move on to the NLCS. Here is Javi Baez live in San Francisco.
That it was going to be out. You know, he was a leadoff hitter that he can get down the line pretty much, pretty good. And you know, I was playing pretty deep, and I was surprised I got to that ball, and even more surprised that it was that close.
Any last one for Javier? All right, we'll let him get
Why
back
are
to
you
the
so good?
Thank you. Javi Baez coming up with a clutch hit. By the way, on Hunter Strickland, who, if you remember, threw at Javi Baez late in game two.
Yep, that was the shaking of the head going, yep, I gotcha.
Carm, I said that to you as Javi came up to bat.
Yep.
And what a great way to get revenge by just getting a nice little hit off him to win the NLDS.
His first swing, too, he basically ended up in the San Francisco Bay. He corkscrewed himself so hard trying to hit it. And then he settles himself down, base it up the middle. Jason Hayward scores. Wow. Wow. I mean, really. Joe Madden.
Here's Joe Madden at the podium.
Off against a team that's been so tough to eliminate.
Well, I mean, I think as a group, obviously, it's 2 years in a row now that we're getting to this particular level. I think it validates on a lot of different levels the job that we've done to this point. I think if you're a player on this particular team or within your organization, it's getting to the point now you want to expect to get to the postseason, and you want to expect to get deeply into the postseason. It also speaks to the way we play. Javi just touched on it, that there's 27 outs, and you don't give any of them up, and you keep playing for all 27. And after the game, even on the mound there, as we're taking the photographs, the guys are chanting, we don't quit, we don't quit. We don't quit. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, you hear that all the time, and I know everybody says it, but you have to actually live it. And I have to tell you, I mean, I've seen it so many times from this group, and that's a big part of our philosophy. And I like to keep things simple, and that's simple, and I don't want to get complicated. We've just played 27 outs.
All right, next question for Joe. Over here to the straight back.
Would you agree that Anthony started to get better at bats tonight? And that
walked.
Was really big.
He walked. That's it. Would he have two walks? Two walks in the line drive up the middle, right? When guys are struggling at all, more than likely for me, they're expanding their strike zone. That's it. That's normally what causes guys to go backward. And he, being who he is, and like I said before the game, they're going to target him. And they're going to say, we're not going to let him beat us. We're just not going to pitch to this guy. And I'm sure that was part of the game plan. So he finally made the adjustment today. And he just needs to take his walks if they want to do that, moving along to the next guy. Zobrist double, pretty big play. Very large play today. So, you know, we're maybe non-conventional in the way the lineup is built. I think I pinch hit for Addison for the first time ever today. But they all knew coming into it, double switch for Jason Hayward yesterday. They all knew coming into it, and I explained it to them before. Things are just a little bit, it's the same, but everything's different in regards to the kind of moves you may make at this time of the season. They're all on board, and it just happened to play out.
And over here to the far right.
Yes, sir.
Joe, congratulations, first of
Thank
all.
You.
And I guess to use like a video game analogy, you see it as you're kind of just going to the next stage, the next level. There's so much expectation on this club. You're two steps away now from...
Yeah, and we love it. I'm telling you, man, that's a good word. Expectations is a good word. And because normally it means that you have something good attached to it at the other side. It's pressure, expectations. I want our guys to thrive on those two words for the years to come. I want the whole organization to. That means there's a lot expected of you. Good. There should be. We should all have a lot expected of us, and then it should manifest itself in the sense that it should bring out the best in you, and I think that you saw that tonight within our group. You've seen it all season. That's actually like 106 wins, I think, for the year. That's pretty significant, and so all those things I want to have us channel in a positive direction.
He started saying that expectations thing last year. Embracing
facing either the
Joe Madden live in San Francisco at the podium after the Cubs win the NLDS.
Honestly, I don't have any desire either way. I really don't. Washington is a shorter plane ride. Couple time zone changes coming out west. No Andrew with the Dodgers. Andrew Freeman and our friends. Washington, I don't know as many people. We have a house in Long. I mean, it's all this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter because when you start worrying about who you're going to play, it could bite you because it really shouldn't matter. We played both groups all this year. We played decently against both. It's a different time of the year, so. Again, I really don't. I'm just happy to be in the dance.
Joe, so much has been made about your team having that wonderful atmosphere, relaxed, fun, almost clubhouse. Kidding around. Mm-hmm. How easy has it been for you to get the guys to buy in, and how much fun has it been for you as a manager to work with this team? You had some good teams down in Tampa, but this is a special group.
It is a special group. It's pretty easy when you. You want to have kids act like kids, you know. But you see them on the field. They play. We play hard. I think we play it right. We're pretty fundamentally sound. Normally, we play a good game of baseball on a daily basis. And understand, we're going to get better. These kids are young. They're young. That whole infield today, Rizzo was 27, by far the oldest out of the whole group. And when you put Contreras behind the plate and, of course, if Soler's in the outfield, then it's pretty youthful. So to be able to be participating in this particular moment now speaks well for the future because I don't anticipate any of them changing when it comes to their personalities, their methods. I just think they're going to get better. They're not going to get full of themselves and think it's just going to throw my glove out there and it's going to come to – I don't think our guys will ever be that way. So it's fun. I like to have fun. I have never done anything well in my entire life that I didn't enjoy. I want them to enjoy this moment. They enjoyed the moment tonight, and then you get a chance to move on.
It's right here in the middle, Bill.
Yes, sir.
You're top of the eighth. You go down 1-2-3.
Yep.
What's going through your mind going to the bottom of
Johnny,
the eighth?
Johnny Cueto at Wrigley Field. And I was telling the folks in there, if you ever looked at those numbers, they're not good.
Okay, I wasn't alone.
He's really tough on us. I mean, like Rizzo's 3-for-26 or 3-for-27, something like that. I think some people are like 0-for. Our team batting average might be barely over 100. So I mean that. I didn't. In the first game, my thought was,
You know, full disclosure, I did not want to see him in the fifth game. I don't care where it was being played. He's deceptive. He's good. He knows what he's doing out there, and he gives us problems. So I'm happy to not be having to face him in a winner-take-all game. That was it. I'm being very honest.
Straight here, Phil.
Yes, you are. I like it.
Joe, you get to reset your rotation, which I would assume, you know, however you do it, everybody will be fresh. It'll be the way you want it. Mm-hmm. And whoever you play won't have that luxury. How much of an advantage is that for you? And secondly, scoring like you did tonight late in the game, and with Rizzo getting going, does that make you feel like maybe this lineup is going to break loose like it did at one point last postseason?
I hope so, Phil.
Or are these postseason games just grinds, and that's what people should expect?
I think you should expect the grind. The pitching's so good on both sides. You don't get to this point without good pitching. It'd be difficult for me to imagine we're just going to go out there and start pummeling the baseball. I just want us to work good at bats. Work our good at bats. Last night we got Bumgarner up to 85 pitches after four innings. That's pretty solid right there, as an example. Tonight, Matty Moore was outstanding. I've never seen him pitch that. I've seen him good. I've seen him win a playoff game in Texas, but that's as good as I've seen him. Total package, everything, command, everything he had going on tonight. It was outstanding. So, regardless of who we play, the pitching's going to be good. We have a little extra break, but we just went through that coming off the season, having to wait on the wild card to get to this particular moment. We had to wait on that. So I think we handled that well, and I didn't feel or any rust, the famous buzzword right now, rust. I didn't really notice that about us.
Last couple, Bill.
Just talked about the rust and all that. Is that a worry in the back of your mind that the players can get rusty, or
it's hard? No, I'm not, and I'll tell you, we have such a great leadership within the clubhouse. You're at a particular time of the year that you should be eager and ready to play, regardless of the weather, wherever you're playing at, all that kind of stuff. And you should be ready to play. So rustiness, if there's any, that should be kicked off after the first couple innings. And I also believe that rust is really mitigated by good starting pitching. So if your starter goes out there and pitches well, if you're a little bit rusty, it gives you a chance to get into the game.
And last one in the far back.
Joe, when you look at how your players came in that ninth inning after that 1-2-3 eighth, did you think there's any, like, I don't know, use the word osmosis, that your players were able to sort of channel that instinct that they had, like the Giants, where you guys just wouldn't give up, wouldn't quit, you know, give it everything to the last out?
Yeah, I want us to I think we're building that reputation, just like the Giants have established that reputation, that you do play to the last drop, and that at this time of the year, you could better come with your A game, because we're going to show up for 27 outs. It's impressive that we beat them. They're, regardless of what their record was this year, and I know they had their travails in the second half, but they're outstanding. And what they're just their professionalism and how they play is really it's high and it's top notch. And so I think it's for us to be able to beat them and beat them here in this particular game. Hopefully, I think that bodes well for the future. In regards to how we feel about ourselves. And if that's the last question, I do want to congratulate the Giants. Listen, I've known Boach for a long time. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for him and how he does things in this entire organization. I have a lot of friends in this organization. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Millie Mays before the game today, which was really special for me. So to them, again, for us to be able to win today is, it's, you know, like I said, to beat you guys in this ballpark is not easy. And it's the way you guys do things, I think, is very admirable and a great example for the rest of the industry.
Guess we have one last one.
Sorry to keep you here from your celebration. What do you think about Boach's run of 10 straight elimination?
It's crazy. That's what I'm talking about. It's crazy good.
All right. Okay. Enough about the Giants. Yeah. You got to love that man. Joe Maddon, though, we just play 27 outs. Indeed, the Cubs do. They prove this tonight. We got to go back out to the locker room. And Kevin Powell is standing there live with the coverage from the locker room right here. WGN's Baseball Insider. What's up, Kevin?
I'm soaked in champagne and Budweiser right now inside this Cubs locker room. A lot of champagne spraying, a lot of Budweiser everywhere, a lot of celebrating. Someone was just dunked into a giant cooler and floating around in the melted ice and water around beer cans and champagne bottles. So they're getting a little rowdy over here, as you may have suspected.
Kevin, who's the happiest Cub?
Oh, you know what? He may not be the most overly excited, but I've never seen John Lackey with a smile on his face.
Yeah, we said the same thing.
Just seeing him with a smile is like a huge moment for him. So he looks thrilled right now, and he's just sort of sitting on the side drinking a beer right now next to Jake Arrieta. But he looks the happiest. Javi Baez, of course, is full of energy, obviously with the game-winning hit. And right now a dance party's breaking out. It looks like Albert Almora, Aroldis Chapman, Jorge Soler. They are playing each other now with champagne and jumping around to some sort of dance, techno music situation. Yeah, kind of crazy in the air. The floor is littered with beer cans and champagne bottles. The CUSC just walked by. He's drenched in champagne. So, insane. It's an absolutely insane game.
Well, it's got to be a pretty cool scene there in the Cubs locker room as they move on to the NLDS. Kevin, we'll check in with you again real soon. Let us know when you got all your interviews and stuff. We will get that to you right away here on 720 WGN.
All right, fellas. I'll see you soon. Talk to you.
All right. That's Kevin Powell out in San Francisco in the locker room.
You having trouble with the phone lines over there?
It's not. I'm pressing the button 900 times, and it's not putting them on hold. So
that's okay.
We fade it down, and we move on.
That's okay. The Cubs are in the NLCS for the second straight year. Can you believe? Let's just take a step back for a second here to all the diehard Cubbies out there. The Chicago Cubs, for the second straight year, for all the Andy Mazers out there, for all the Ken Tarnoffs, the diehard Cubby fans that I can name, the Ronnie Santos, back-to-back years in the NLCS, and NLCS, by the way, yes, the Chicago Cubs meet again. Will this be different than 03, than 2015, and will they finally get to the World Series? You got to love their chances, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been getting texts here all show, and from all the guys that I grew up with, going to Wrigley Field on the red line from the suburbs and, you know, bringing in our White Castle burgers and checking things out, all the texts have said these are not the same Cubs we grew up watching.
They're not. There is no
I think they proved that much tonight. Yeah. We got to take a break. We're way late for 1-312-981-7200. Promise we will continue to get your phone calls in here. It's True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN. I'm sure there's a lot of Cubs fans out there enjoying a craft brew right now as you celebrate another trip to the NLCS.
Honestly, there's three Miller Lights in the fridge here. I don't know who they are.
Well, there's three of us.
Mazur's on an actual. He's being a good Jewish man by fasting. You'll go Miller Light. All right. We got something in here. In the spirit of,
are you going to spray it all over? No, yourself. I mean, there's a lot of electronic equipment here.
Yeah. You know what? We could. It doesn't even. I will have a Coke with a smile right now. I want a cheers.
You need, man.
This is.
All right. We have to fit in our spots here for our sponsors. True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGM. We'll keep some radio discipline here, just like the Cubs were disciplined tonight as they beat the Giants.
I want to hear from everybody. 312-981-7200.
We got tons of calls on hold. We will get to those right after the news, and plenty of post-game reaction as well. 720 W.
Will Smith was actually stingier against right-handed hitting during the regular season. Back up the middle and foul. Rizzo scores. Here's Zobrist, and the Cubs have tied it here in the night.
You know, Wilson is the one that amazes me. Sitting around the cold weather here on the bench, kept cheering the team on, comes up with a humongous knock, get those guys in and put us on the board, and can't say enough about these young guys. They're so talented.
This is True Blue Playoff Plus. You heard the highlight there, Matt Vaskirjian on FS1. And who is that clip? Who's it talking there?
That sounded like David Ross.
David Ross.
Yep.
Who once again comes up with a home run.
Friendly reminder.
A lot of hits in this series from guys you wouldn't expect it. Mm-hmm. David Ross being one, two home runs from pitchers.
Kyle Hendricks had a two-run single. Jake Arrieta, three-run homer. Travis Wood, a solo bomb. Javi Baez was better than Michael Jordan in his prime in this series. I mean, the guy was unbelievable. In the field, at the plate. Loved him at the podium, too. NLCS game one Saturday night, Wrigley Field. Be there. Or be doing something fun around it.
I'm guessing you will be there. I'm just guessing.
I hope that I will be there. This is when it gets dicey. How does At the Carm find his way in? And what's it going to cost? And how's it going to happen? This is where it all This is where the craftiness comes together.
Does he always refer to himself by his Twitter handle?
Yeah. Okay. His first name is At. His middle name is The and his last name is Carm. Okay. That is Mark Carman.
You follow me on Twitter right now, I will mention you on the air, and we can all celebrate together.
He's always desperate for Twitter followers. That is Mark Carman.
Hey, let's give a shout-out to actress Bonnie Hunt, who may be listening to us as well here on the Big 720.
We love you, Bonnie. We love everybody, and we want to hear from everybody.
And Mike's been on hold here for, I think, 3 days.
Let's talk to Mike.
Hey, Mike, thanks for hanging on there, buddy.
Hey, guys, what's up? I don't want to put a damper on this celebration, but here's the thing. So just for you guys, I just hope, I'm hoping for hope, because yesterday I was going through this with I'm a true baseball fan, and I've been saying this all summer. I just hope that Madden doesn't pull one of these things where he tries to overthink this thing.
Mike, stop right now. Stop yourself. Did you like when he pinch hit for Addison Russell tonight?
Yes, but can I finish my point?
I don't know.
I think Mike's point is about last night.
Okay, go ahead, Mike. Lay it out there. Let's hear the fear.
Just moving forward as well, because you know there were so many directions we can go. I'm just hoping that he doesn't, you know, he didn't need to do all these things that he did yet in yesterday's game, you know, pulling. Let's go to one lineup and let's, you know, the lineup that they got you there to win. He doesn't need Soler in the game. He could have kept it the way it was yesterday. He should have pulled out Arrieta when Arrieta was losing it,
and Mike, I'm going to have to stop you here.
You were the first one yesterday who said Madden had a bad game.
He did have a bad game, but I'm not going to sit here. I love you, Mike, and I appreciate your concern, and we love you too. But come on, they just won Game 4 of the NLDS. Joe Madden's the best manager this franchise has ever had. It's not close. Andy, you're Johnny level-headed here. Am I wrong? I mean, come on.
Well, you're not wrong, and I get what Mike is saying.
What is
because
he saying?
But here's what my point. My point is that every player has a bad day, and you put him back in the lineup the next day, and he comes through for you, and you forget about the day before.
There was a lot more good from the manager series than bad, including tonight.
You got to move past what happened yesterday. Yeah, it was terrible, and it caused a little angst.
He said he liked the matchup with Ross tonight, hitting. And what does he do? He goes out there and hits a home run.
You can't. This is not a team that plays the same lineup every day. That's not who they are.
They're too deep.
Chris Bryant's played left, right, and center field. He's played first base, and he's played about a third of his games at third. Javi Baez has played all over the field.
And that's what you need to do.
They started three catchers in this series. That can't be a real request for this team. That's not who they are at all.
The third catcher on this roster helped. Because
he did.
You can't pinch hit Wilson Contreras in that spot if you only have two catchers on your roster.
Exactly right. You got to save your catcher in case something happens to the catcher.
Exactly.
I learned that a long time ago from Steve Stone.
312-981-7200. We keep the phone lines moving here. Dan, you are on 720 WGN.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? I was telling the guy who took my phone call, I was like, I don't know if I should be upset or not. I was listening to the game because I'm at work, and it started bumming me out. It's just like between yesterday's loss, I'm like, I don't think this team's giving up, and I don't think they're going to drop three in a row. I was like, but I just don't think that – I think this is going to go back to game five. And I'm like, and just like Joe said, you don't really want to go against Johnny Cueto again, and you're like, ugh. So I get to my car, and my phone's going off the hook. My wife's texting me, and she's like, it's unbelievable. She's like, I tell you, baseball is just so unpredictable. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And she's like, just start celebrating. And I'm like, I turn back the game on, and I realize they've won. And I'm sitting there like, oh, my God. I just missed the most exciting part of the game. I'm like, but I really don't care. I'm like, they won.
You and the rest of Chicago, man.
It's true, man. I just, you know what? It just, this team's different. And you guys put it best. It's not about whatever that people, the lazy narrative that people keep talking about.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you.
I mean, you said exactly what Joe Madden said, right? What were you thinking about after you went 1-2-3 in the eighth? I was thinking about Johnny Cueto in Game 5 at Wrigley Field on Thursday and the fact that we've never gotten a hit off Cueto and the fact that we were going to get...
Even I was thinking about that. Even I said to you, not only do you have Cueto, but Bumgarner can come in late.
Right. It was doom and gloom. You had to be. We're human beings. There's no way. As much as he said, also we 27 outs. Yeah. What were you thinking about? I was thinking about the fact that we got to face Johnny Cueto on Thursday night, and we could very well blow the series. That's basically what he was saying. That's Joe Maddon, Mr. Positive. So it's okay, Cub fans, if you lost faith for a second there. Talking to myself here, I feel better.
It's okay, you're good.
But and by a second, you mean the entire game until Javi Baez hit that ball.
Until
Wilson Contreras hit his ball. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
I watched the first five innings in the studio that we're sitting in right now in complete darkness.
I walked in here in the fifth inning, and the whole studio was dark. I was like, is Carm even in here? He's in here. I'm like, can I get one light? So I could see my score sheet?
Well, I was tired. I got 2 hours of sleep last night, worked all day today, so I was trying to keep myself, you know, on a low regulation so I could have the energy to live this dream tonight. And I thought that I was actually going to need the energy at that point because things were going so poorly.
Funny tweet coming out of the Cubs clubhouse from Patrick Mooney, who's on CSN. He writes for them.
Love Patrick Mooney. Does a great job.
Grandpa Rossi yells out of the Cubs clubhouse, quote, "Let's take this party to the plane, people. It's past my bedtime."
They do have a long flight back.
That's awesome, man. Let's go. Let's get on that plane.
But they have 3 days off now.
Yeah, I would assume they take the day off tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is what, Wednesday? Then you'll have a workout at Wrigley on Thursday, same thing on Friday, and game one on Saturday. Let's go.
More of your phone calls coming up next, 312-981-7200. We also have Javi Baez. More from Javi Baez from the locker room, and Kevin Powell standing by in San Francisco as well. Our baseball insider will hear from him. Plenty still to get to. We go till 2 a.m. It's True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGM. Go, Cubs, sing it loud, Carm.
I mean, if you're not singing it, I don't know you.
I don't know you.
You know everybody else.
It was so much fun.
Even I can live with this song right now. Not the greatest song of all time.
As far as I'm concerned, we can play that song on a loop right now. We can all go home.
Yo. The best in the National League.
Well, this is the year and the Cubs are in. I mean, this really could be the year, team. Let's be honest. So come on down to Wrigley. Let's get a chorus. One time. Come on.
Go Cubs, go.
Yeah, yeah.
Go Cubs, go.
Uh-huh. Best
right,
song
that's
ever.
Enough.
I got to sing it on game one with our guy Dave, who's on hold here, who I grew up with and is my inspiration.
Was that live, by the way?
What's that?
Was I just live you on were. WGN you, singing that
yeah,
song?
Go right. Cubs,
did that really
go.
Happen?
Strange things happen when the Cubs win, you know.
Jesus. David, you are on 720 WGN.
I'm a little late to this party, but I got it. I got to say, this is the greatest Cubs win ever of anyone living on the planet Earth. I'd like to hear a win that was better than tonight. Seriously. Has it been discussed?
Carm kind of mentioned that right at the top of the show, and I think it's a good discussion.
Let's think. I would go with, and I agree, this was the greatest win, but if I was going to wins that compared to it, Game 5 Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
that's
mm-hmm.
got to be number. I would think that'd be number two. And after that, I would probably say Game 3 against the Marlins with Doug Glanville to go up 2-1.
What about the one-game playoff against the Giants in 98?
I think the clincher last year against the Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals is yeah. the Cardinals.
That was
the Cardinals. The Cardinals beats the Braves. Actually, you beat the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals last year is number two to advance to the NLCS, just like they did today. I think this tops last year. I think just because of the way they did it.
I got it as the greatest Cubs win ever of anyone alive on the planet Earth. I will debate it. I have this as the greatest Cubs win ever. I want to talk about Maddon a little bit.
Yep.
I think he managed unbelievably. I was all in last night for the 6-out save. I know it blew up in his face, but I had it. I would have done the same thing. I supported it. It blew up. It was a bad move in retrospect, but I liked it. Starting Ross tonight, I mean, my God, I wanted to kill him when I saw Ross in the lineup. And Ross, Ross had two RBIs, and then, you know, sitting down Addison against the slider with their closer, I thought was a great call. I wanted to pull Addy there too, and he immediately did. I thought it set up a great matchup for us. So hats off to Madden. And my final point is, and I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your evening, is I honestly believe this is how the Cubs had to win this series. They needed to shake hands with the devil. This team, as cocky as they are, as overconfident as they are, needed to understand the abyss of despair that this history of this Cubs franchise has, and they felt it. I know they felt it. We were literally staring into the grave of 6 feet, almost stumbled in it, almost had the dirt poured on us. Game five would have been an absolute funeral at Wrigley. It would have been awful. And to win it like this, unbelievable the way it had to happen.
Good job, David.
David, that was one of my favorite phone calls, I think, ever. Thank you very much.
Greatest Cubs win, greatest phone call ever.
I think it
was. I mean,
that was very well, eloquently put.
But you know what? Yes, and it was way more eloquent than I put that sort of same point earlier in the show. He did a much better job of putting it. But yes, I think there's so much value in this young team going through what they did the last 24 hours. Because, as Carm, you've put it so many times, this was headed in such a Cubs direction.
It felt...
And to experience that and to get over that and to get to the next round despite all of the bad that just happened since the eighth inning last night, I think it had so much... really just experience for this young team.
I don't know who was putting out on Twitter that, you know, if the Cubs go on to lose three in a row right now in this series, which they hadn't lost three in a row the entire second half of the season, that would be so Cub-like. I don't know who put that out on Twitter.
Probably you.
Could have been at the Carm.
Mm-hmm.
There was a feeling of just so... I kept on wanting to tweet, this is so Cub. This is so Cub. And then this was so un-Cub in the history of un-Cub. When has this ever happened? It hasn't.
No. And you know, you could kind of tell just even the tide turning a little bit. And, you know, you go back to last year. You think about getting through to the, you know, the wild card situation. You're playing the Pirates, who had been there a couple of years in a row. Then you have the bad draw again of your biggest rival in your own division that you have to get by, that you know if you don't get by, you never hear the end of.
Yep.
They do it then, and they get through it. Okay, yeah, they ran into a Mets team that got hot and had some great pitching and shut the Cubs' offense down, which happens. But I think that seed was kind of planted back then. And you know what? There wasn't a lot of adversity in that one except for game one, and that was it.
Yeah, and then they go on in the offseason to add on.
They kept adding on.
And
you get that double from Zobrist tonight.
And that's the thing I was going
to
say.
And the great bunt by Jason Hayward to get him to sacrifice himself to second base. Who else could do that than Jason Hayward?
And he knew Crawford was going to throw it away.
Yes.
It was planned.
He's been incredible all season long. Well worth the money.
Let's go out to AT&T Park once again. We find our guy, Kevin Powell. You dry off at all, Kev?
Not a whole lot.
So what
smells good though?
Does it?
Yeah,
I'm sure that press box smells phenomenal right now with everybody.
Yeah, sorry, I'm getting a weird feedback in my headphones.
You getting yourself back at you? We'll figure that out. Hang on, Kev. We will figure that out.
We will.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a button that needs to be pushed. A button that we don't have access to, Carm, and it will be fixed, and we will go back out to Kevin.
Okay,
and everything will
fine. Get Aubrey Mamparo on the caser because we just does not include me because I have no idea.
No,
what
you're not
is.
Pressing a button.
No, we don't want you pressing any buttons.
Instead, we'll take a phone call. Cindy, you are now on 720 WGN. Hey, Cindy.
Hi. You thought the last call was good, but it's your old pal Cindy. We used to work together, Andy and Mark.
Where do we work together, Cindy?
WGN. It's Cindy Loftus.
Oh my God.
What's up, Cindy?
Well, I heard you guys, and I had to call in. And all I can think about right now is they're winning and they're playing so great. What about our old pal Ronnie? Oh,
right.
My gosh.
I just tweeted that out.
Thinking?
Cindy, you should check out my Twitter account because I just tweeted out a picture of our guy. And it basically all I said was, you know, I think a lot about Ronnie all the time just because of the times that he and I spent together in that booth. And, you know from being up there as well. But I think about him a lot more during the playoffs just because of all the times he didn't really get to experience. I think people forget that he wasn't in Atlanta with us. He wasn't in during the Florida series with us because of the health issues that he had in 2003. So he never really got to experience that. He got to experience 07 and 08, and they kind of ended before they began. And unfortunately, we lost him in 2010. So I really just think about how cruel that really, really is. And I hope somewhere he and Ernie are sitting back, kicking back, and smiling because they should be.
If there's Cindy, as you well know, Miss Loftus, that if there's one man who deserved to see this more than anyone, it was Ron Santo. But I think like Cub fans who feel that pain, I know Andy, you do. I know I do. The man lived had a tremendous life. He loved every ounce of being around the team, win or lose.
He left it on the field, you know.
He had a. I saw Junior at whatever the last home game was, at game two. He was sitting there behind home plate, and it just it's always cool to see his son and think about obviously you got to miss your dad around this time of year because nobody would love it more than Ronnie. That's
Cindy,
for sure.
Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks, Sid.
Love
good
you, Loftus.
Okay, bye.
All right. We'll keep the calls rolling here. 312-991-7200. We'll get checked back in with Kevin here in a little bit at AT&T Park. Plenty of reaction still to come. We're only halfway through, guys.
I'm not ever leaving.
Taking it to 2 a.m. We're excited. Leaving. We are excited. This is a lot of fun tonight, seeing the Cubs move on to the NLCS for the second straight season, which has never happened before.
Yeah, it's the truth. I mean, you look back. You know, before there was no such thing. You won the National League. You were in the you were in the World Series.
Listen. Let's put it out there, plain and simple. It's all about going to the World Series.
Yeah, that's true.
This is
right. We got to get over the hump.
It's time to do it.
Two more celebrations are needed.
That's right. It's not just one. It's two. It's time to do it. The time is now. Let's go.
This is True Blue Playoff Plus on 720 WGN.
Strickland in front, nothing and two, trying to keep that go ahead run at bay. Baez singles back up the middle. Hayward's being waved around, and Chicago has taken a 6-5 lead. And the Chicago Cubs are moving on to the National League Championship Series. Visiting fans raising the W. Back-to-back NLCS appearances for the winningest team in baseball this year. And for the San Francisco Giants, they simply ran
sounds
out of
so
even-year magic.
What was that noise you just made?
I mean, that just does that not sound so back-to-back NLCS appearances for the best team in baseball this year? And I forgot that it was an 0-2 count by Baez off of Strickland, who hit him yesterday or came up
game
in
two.
I mean, this is just... This is something. Can I, I'm looking at the stats here. You know what the Cubs hit for the series?
Not very well.
Ho, you want to guess?
210.
Andy?
I'm going to say it's lower than that. I'm going to say like 195.
The Chicago Cubs, as you're listening to True Blue, our Cubs playoff special, Adam Hogue, Andy Mazur, Mark Carmen, they hit 202.
Okay.
The Giants hit 229. They're on base. I mean, it ain't like they were getting on via the walk either. They on base was 243. Giants were 252. Cubs slugged 358 to 330. And the OPS is 601 to 582. I mean, Addison Russell was 1 for 15. Anthony Rizzo, 1 for 15. Jason Hayward, 1 for 12. Dexter Fowler, 2 for 15. I mean, they didn't even play well, is my point.
Yeah. The biggest concern... I think I may have said this the other night, even after the win. The biggest concern to me was the bottom part of that lineup. After you got past the top four, you know, Russell did drive in 95 runs during the year, but it was a very it was a streaky year for Addison Russell. He got really, really hot in the beginning part of the second half, and then kind of trailed off a little bit, picked it up a little bit, and then trailed off again. You know, you're talking about Addison Russell, you're talking about Jason Hayward, you're talking about Miguel Montero, if Ross or Contreras weren't catching, it's the lower part of the batting order that may need a little tweak here as we go forward.
Well, and I said this after game one, guys. I mean, the Cubs offense is just so much better than the Giants.
Yeah.
And that's why they still managed to win this series in four games despite hitting the way they did. By the way, this is True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, the home of Cubs. Checking Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen, and Andy Mazur here with you till 2 a.m.
And we've been crediting Joe Maddon and the Cubs' flexibility playing three catchers, and I think everybody wants to see David Ross out there and Wilson Contreras. And if Miguel Montero is Jake Arrieta's catcher, fine. But Wilson Contreras was 4-for-6 in the series.
Yeah, he was good.
So if you're not going to play him behind the plate, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the outfield. So if you're going to give Jorge Soler's at-bats in the outfield to Contreras, he's a better outfielder than him anyway.
Okay, so you bring up the point now, because you can redo your 25-man roster now going forward to the National League Championship Series. You can improve upon it. You can take guys off. You know, my biggest thing, first of all, is if you're going into expecting it to be a 7-game series, you have to add at least one more arm.
Could be Cahill, could be Joe Smith.
At least one more.
Okay, maybe two.
Okay.
Are you saying two?
I'm just saying. You
saw where this was headed already.
You can't get caught in a situation like they did last night.
They used almost everybody the other night. They used six pitchers tonight. You're about to go to a game five.
Right.
And you would have to burn through anybody, through any situation, to move on, because that's an elimination game. And that's just a 5-game series.
It's a nice 3 days off, though. These guys are going to be well-rested. But, yes, I
absolutely
get it.
But I'm just saying, the way the series was going, you got to expect that in the next round, too. You got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
Let's go back out to San Francisco. Kevin Powell, we do have him from AT&T Park. All right, Kevin, you were in the locker room. You experienced it all. We saw your big head on TV a lot.
What kind of gum were you chewing, Powell?
That's your Trident Lair. The Lair ones?
You had a nice...
They're delicious, right?
You had a great blow of the bubble with talking to a Jake Arrieta. It was one of the... It was actually the highlight of my knife. Oh.
It was Trident Lair strawberry plus citrus. Delicious, fellas. Try it out. Sugar-free gum. There's a plug. I'm glad they caught that on camera.
Oh, yeah. We
fun times in the locker room. Cubs having a blast doing their thing. David Ross screaming into the locker room that... bus in 30 minutes because he's got to get to bed, so doing his Grandpa Rossi things, and we sort of kicked out as they were clearing things out, and they were organizing their parties. Asked Chris Bryant what the game plan was. He said they were still saving the biggest party for the end of the year.
That's what I'm talking about.
Obviously you know what he's implying there, but I'm sure they're going to have some fun tonight as well.
I know you talked to Javi Baez, saw your tweet about that.
Yes, Javi Baez is sort of talking to him about the final at bat, and you got his confidence. He has no shortage of confidence, Javi Baez, and it continues to grow, especially after tonight. So he pointed out that he gave the team the first and last run in the series. If you think of, you know, he gave the walk off, not the the solo shot in game one, and then he drives in the game winning run here. So He didn't forget to point that out to us, and then I asked him what the pitch was. He said, fastball, you can't throw that pitch to me, and he walked away and started checking a Budweiser.
That's awesome.
Did anybody talk to him about the fact that he was facing Strickland again, and Strickland was the one that kind of buzzed his tower in game two?
Yeah, because if you noticed it when he sort of rounded the base, they do sort of like
he looked at him, didn't he?
Yeah, he said he looked. Well, we were kind of pressing him on that because initially he said no. I was just looking at the ball, and we were like, yeah. He's like, well, yeah, all right. I looked at him. I was looking at the pitcher. He admitted to it. So it was a little payback there. He loved it, and yeah, it was a riot in there. It was a riot for sure. But Baez, has sort of been talking about this all season, really, that he needs to be in the lineup as often as possible, and we've seen that in the postseason here. But in the regular season, there's so much talent there, and he had some boneheaded moves throughout the season. But Joe Maddon's addressed them; the veterans have addressed it. It seems like it's all sort of coming together. The play he made again, I can't remember what inning it was, but it was similar to last night when he was moving towards the middle, towards second, and he sort of made like a 180 spin and threw it to first again. I've never seen anybody make that play.
I mean, he's
I've never seen anybody make it twice, you know, back-to-back nights.
I mean, the bottom line is that his utility role, I think, in the playoffs is over. He's the everyday second baseman. I mean, I don't think they're going to move him off there. Maybe in double switches late in the game, but I think he's going to start every game at second base. I'd be surprised if Ben Zobrist sees second base the rest of the way.
Yeah, I would just put Zobrist in left or right and then just decide who you want to put on the opposite of him and leave Baez at second.
Andy's making a great point about the tags.
He is so good at that, and I know he learned it at an early age. They were talking about the way he just receives the ball and quickly just gets the ball down. And the tag that he made on the steal attempt tonight was unbelievable.
He let the ball come to him,
and he didn't force it. He didn't try to go get it, which is a mistake that a lot of these young infielders make. Trying to you take yourself away from the bag, then you have to swipe behind you,
right? Yeah, like Alexi Ramirez.
That's one of those plays you have to watch on extra slow motion because you sort of blink. It like looks odd when you first see it because it's such a jerk reaction and such intense reflexes that he has. So
yep.
When you watch what he did, I mean, and it was off a one hop from Ross, you almost didn't realize it was a one hop from Ross. You know, it's like he just kind of picked it out of the air. And next thing you know, it was on span.
Who were we talking to the other day? And they were comparing Javi's wrists to Gary Sheffield. I forget. Oh, I think it was Dan Plesac maybe over the weekend. And I mean, Gary Sheffield was a monster. And he had tremendous plate discipline. And guys are comparing Javi to Gary Sheffield as far as his wrist. Jeff Passan was saying that, actually. I think that was the piece out of Yahoo Sports. Jeff does a great job. So, I mean, there's some high praise coming for Javi Baez from all across baseball.
Did you guys even see they caught it on camera after that when he dropped the gum out of his mouth? Did you guys see that? It was sort of making the rounds on social media. He dropped gum out of his mouth on accident, and he was able to snag it out of the air with his hand. He like popped it up to himself and caught it.
When he was doing the clap, right? Is that?
Yeah.
I'm just glad you didn't get caught on camera doing that with your gum.
I was trying to, and I failed miserably. I cannot pull the Javi gum chew bounce up in the air and catch it again.
Anybody get a chance? Did you get a chance to talk to Rizzo in the clubhouse?
A little. I'm going to go back and listen. It was one of those things where the microphone was near him, and I was like 5 feet back in the scrum. So okay. I'm going to go back and listen to him. Chris Bryant had a chance to talk to him. Typical Chris Bryant, very low key. Everything we asked him was sort of the same answer, which was, there's 27 outs in a game. Got to play them all. We don't change the approach whatsoever, which is what he says personally. That's how he approaches every plate appearance. He's not really going to change much. And this team. So, you know, that was typical Chris Bryant. But after I got off the phone with you guys, John Lackey not only was smiling, but he was laughing and jumping up and down. I swear I saw that happen.
It's amazing. Truly, truly incredible. It's a transformation right there for John Lackey. Happy
really
Lackey.
Really
happy
is.
Lackey.
It's the happy, happy Lackey. We'll see you in game four of the NLCS, John Lackey. Hopefully he'll pitch better than he pitched tonight. But whatever. They got it done.
I know this was thrilling for you, Carmen, who's a fanatic. Andy's a fan, correct? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're a fan. Hogue, I know where your allegiance stands. But to me, it's all unraveling, and it sort of seemed surreal. But at the same time, when you take a step back and bring some perspective to the 2016 Cubs, it's really not that surprising at all. You know, the only reason it's even more stunning than the comeback alone is because people still think about the past. And Carm, you were saying, some of those moments were so Cubs. But if you just take the 2016 Cubs and forget about every other team, it's not that surprising.
It's a good point.
Every game that throughout the whole season, no matter how many runs down they were, late in the ninth inning, late in games, they always seem to at least put some sort of competitive comeback into place. I'm not saying they won all those, but it of course, it's the playoffs. It was an unbelievable comeback, down three runs, but at the same time, it's the 2016 Cubs, and this is what they've been doing for the past four or five months.
They did this last night.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they did that with the home run last night.
Right, Carm's sitting here like the game's over in the seventh, and I'm saying, dude, is there any evidence whatsoever that they could come back? How about last night when they did it?
Right. And especially when you looked at the lineup and you go, okay, we got Bryant, Rizzo, Zobrist. Now, I know Rizzo hasn't been doing well, but when it all just, again, when it was unfolding in front of me, it was like, damn,
listen,
it's happening again. And it's like, this is the 2016 Cubs. This is what they do.
Think about this for that standpoint. And by the way, Joe Maddon was already looking ahead at Game 5 as well. So it wasn't just at the car who had moved forward. But you've got in game number 162,
you're the best.
That's who I am. Please follow me on
Twitter.
Keep
it going. We love you.
Game 162.
Forget it, he's rolling.
They're playing the Cincinnati Reds. Everything is clinched. They have every reason to mail it in. They score one in the eighth and four in the ninth to come back from 4-2 down to win 7-4 to go into the playoffs. I mean, that's a team that you just got to be impressed by that, right? I mean, on game 162, when you get, hey, the season's over, man. We're going to be off for a week. No. Miguel Montero is going to hit a three-run bomb into the right field seats to come back and win a game. I mean, it's impressive.
I think that's this team just doesn't overthink things. You know, they just have a simple approach. Let's just go win. I think that's why you saw Jake Arrieta and some of those guys get a little annoyed when Joe Maddon changed the game plan in the last couple of weeks when he said, you know, it's spring training 2.0 or whatever, and Arrieta didn't like it, some of the other guys didn't like it. I think it's because these guys just keep it really simple. Let's just go out and play baseball, take it bat. But, you know, it's all the cliches that I don't think they really – you know, it's not like they're pointing to the cliches. It's just like who these guys are. It's just the makeup of the team that these guys just go out, let's do your job, everybody stick together and play together. I know that's like cliche overload, but I really think that's what the team's about. They don't overthink each game.
Kev, nice job tonight. Appreciate your coverage. Find a shower and some clean clothes.
I'm going pretty much straight to the airport. I'll be back in Chicago in the morning. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, Kevin Powell out at AT&T Park. Got a few days off now until game one of the NLCS back at Wrigley Field against either the Dodgers or Nationals, and we got to talk about that at some point before we get out of here at 2 a.m. Yes, Carm.
I just want to clarify that.
Excuse me, it's at the Carm.
At the Carm.
At the Carm. Follow me on Twitter. Makes my life better. Also makes your life better. Anybody who follows me tonight, I'll mention you on the air. Let's all be in this together.
Can that be your description in your Twitter account? When you follow me on Twitter, it makes your life better.
Listen, I judge people by how many Twitter followers they have.
I see a T-shirt.
It's a wrong way to go about life, but I judge you by how many Twitter followers you have. Matt Caesar doubled home two in game 162, and then it was the Montero solo shot. I said three-run homer. I want to correct myself. It's been a long season. Thank you. But regardless.
I was really worried about it. Thank you for doing that.
I was. Yeah. I've never gotten anything wrong on radio ever.
Remember, he's not a journalist, though.
Not a journalist.
I'm not a journalist. I am absolutely not.
All right, well, we will be back with At the Carm, Not a Journalist, and Andy Mazur.
We got to hear from – I want to hear from – if you're a diehard Cub fan and you don't call the show tonight, you're failing. 312-981-7200.
A lot of pressure.
312-981-7200.
Makes your life better.
We are here until 2 a.m. Got plenty of time left. Got some more locker room reaction that Kevin Powell sent us from San Francisco. We'll hear from Javi Baez. We'll get you some highlights, too, before we get out of here. 312-981-7200. True Blue Playoff Plus, presented by Wintrust, rolls on 720 WGN. Carm has already moved on to game one. That's what we've determined.
We've lost him.
He is on to matchups and
cheapest,
more importantly, ticket prices.
Cheapest entrance to the NLCS right now on StubHub is $359.99 for a standing room only ticket.
Chump change to you?
Yeah. Hopefully that will come down so we can get some of the fans who don't have oodles and oodles of dollars.
We can start a GoFundMe page for you.
That'd be nice.
I don't think that's what it's for, but we can work some. We'll work it out.
Yeah, that would not. There's people out there with real needs. It should not. But then again, if people want, you know, me being in the park is good for the world.
It's an important cause.
I mean,
your life is better.
That's right. Game two, I didn't like the atmosphere in there. I started yelling at people.
Did you?
Yes, I absolutely did. Let's go.
Well, Carm, you put it out before the break that if people didn't call this show, they weren't really diehard Cub fans. This is a lot of pressure, but according to the call screener, we have somebody calling from Poland.
All right.
Who heard you and needs to call in.
I love Poland.
Hi, Anthony.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Anthony?
Are you really in Poland?
Oh, yeah. I'm calling you from Krakow, Poland. My wife and I moved here about a couple months ago, and I knew as soon as she told me, because she's here for work, as soon as she told me that we were moving, I was like, great, this is the year.
Yep.
This is going to be the freaking year, right? So, oh, God, it's killing me, man. It's killing me. But internet radio and you guys are keeping me alive, so thank you.
What time is it there right now?
8 o'clock. I've been up since 2 a.m.
So hold on a second. We're rocking an 8 o'clock
Brutal.
Krakow, Poland look. What's for breakfast in a Krakow?
Oh, there. I can send it to your Facebook feed. They're W-shaped pancakes.
Oh,
nice.
Ooh.
Mm. Blueberries
in there or just regular?
No, just regular Aunt Jemima. I had those flown over with some friends that came to visit. You can't find pancakes here to save your life.
That's unfortunate. I don't know. I don't think I can make it in Poland then.
So Anthony, if you were to wear a Cubs jersey down the streets in Krakow, would you be the only one, or are there other people out there that you think might be pulling for the Cubbies too?
You know, surprisingly enough, there's a lot of Chicago people here.
Really?
And actually, Warsaw has had a higher Chicago had a higher population of Polish people than Warsaw.
I think I've heard that.
It's pretty interesting. Although I have been rocking my Cubs jersey and hat everywhere, and I've been getting some weird looks, but you got to support our boys. What? There's just no doubt about it.
Hey, before you go, what job does your wife have?
She works for Cisco, and she's in finance.
All right, we're going to get you just hang on the line, talk to Craig Collins. We're going to get her a better job in finance in the city, so you can come home.
It's ridiculous.
This is ridiculous. You don't need to be in Poland for a finance job. If you were like doing special Poland things, I'd say fine. But just hang on the line. Craig will get your information. We'll get you a better job so you can come home. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Anthony.
Now, that is a guy answering your call right there, Carm.
I mean,
he really came through.
I don't want to be over the top and say that I can actually get his wife a better job, but I feel like we can get it done somewhere in our WGN listening family.
I thought you were going to send him a pizza. You know,
be like, hey, we'll send you a Lou Malz gift card. I'm not sure they have a location out there in Krakow, but...
That dude was legitimately... He was miserable in Krakow, Poland. You can't have a diehard Cub fan who doesn't want to be in Poland.
You just lost your GoFundMe page. We are now starting one for Anthony to get him a flight home.
We were down three runs in the ninth tonight. If the Cubs could come back and win that game, we could find somebody a better job in finance.
You know, in the final hour, we will relive that ninth inning. We'll get you some highlights and go through exactly how it played out because it was incredible. It's worth reliving here on 720 WGM. We'll also continue your phone calls from Poland, from New Zealand, from wherever you are right now. We are worldwide on WGNRadio.com. It's the great thing about radio today. 312-981-7200. It's True Blue Playoff Plus presented by Wintrust on 720 WGN. Back here on True Blue Playoff Plus, an exciting night in Chicago as the Cubs move on to the NLCS for the second year in a row. Our friend Mark Carmen here at the Carm. He wants you to follow him, and he is here. He's very excited. My name is Adam Hoge. Andy Mazur's here as well, bringing some levity to the situation. But
hey, I got a question for you, Adam Hoge.
Yes, sir.
Not to out your incredible youthfulness. How old were you in 1989?
Uh-huh. I was 3 years old.
You were 3 years old.
Oh.
You know why I'm bringing up 89, right?
Yeah.
San Francisco Giants over your Chicago Cubs, 4-1. Split the first two at home, go out to San Francisco. Game 5, Cubs rallied late, and I believe Ryne Sandberg was at the plate with at least the tying run on, if not the go-ahead run.
I think it was D'Andre Dawson.
Was it Dawson?
I think it was Dawson. And I'll tell you the only reason I remember that, I kicked a hole in my wall.
There it is. I felt like if they had won Game 5 on the road, they would have come back and won the series.
I kicked a hole in my wall.
These things happen. Well, you didn't have to kick a hole in your wall tonight. Revenge, baby.
Do you have any stories like that? And actually, this is a great topic for callers, too. 312-981-7200. Playoff mishaps that you've had. Because this is a true story I was just actually exchanging on Twitter. I actually suffered a collapsed lung in 2005 when the White Sox were in the middle of trying to blow the division in September.
Oh, man.
I've told this story before, but it's true. Apparently I had a cyst on my lung that I didn't know about, obviously.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one day, I'm getting the sharp pain going down my shoulder and back. And I go get it checked out because it was like every time I tried to walk, it was like I was worried I had a heart problem. Seriously.
Yeah.
Because it was on the left side. And I go in, they took x-rays, and I had a partially collapsed lung.
It was White Sox stress, right?
And the doc was like, this is probably stress-related. The cyst ruptured, probably due to stress. Is there anything that's, you know, that you're going through right now in your life? And I was like...
Yes.
Well, the White Sox are trying to blow... Like, literally, that's the only stress I had in my life, or that the White Sox were trying to blow the division in September.
Well, they had a 15-game lead. It was a lot of stress.
And it was down to 1.5 at this time.
No, I get it. I think that's... That shows that you're in the right profession.
By the way, side story to that, the day I got that diagnosed, Wisconsin was hosting Michigan Chad Henne and the Wolverines at Camp Randall, and the doc says, you can't go to the game. I said, okay, doc. And I went to the game.
See, that's a guy who knows his body. Sometimes you don't listen to the doctor.
Nope.
For me, along those lines, 2003, game six, being in the left field corner after the Moises Alou play. I won't change the way I'm describing that play.
Mm-hmm.
And turning around when it happened to one of my vendor friends, Jared Ralski, who was literally weeping at the back of section 202.
Wait, at what point in the game?
When Farnsworth gave up the 3-run double.
Okay.
So to make it, I think, 7-4 or whatever.
Is that Mike Mordecai?
I don't remember. Yeah. Whatever it was nauseating. Todd Hollinsworth sliding across home plate with the fist up. I looked at Ralski. The dude was crying. I walked out of the park in the eighth inning. I left. Went home. Couldn't handle it. And that was, I think that was my lowest moment. Outside of then game seven, when the World Series t-shirts rolled by me on the dolly after they had blown game seven, and then there was like seven Marlin fans having a party over the visitors' dugout, and the guy that I was with who actually called the show earlier today was, we were debating whether we were going to go over there and physically rough them up, but we came to our senses because we would have gotten our ass kicked.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's seven of them.
Do you want to go kill them? We quickly braced ourselves that would be wrong.
Good choice.
Congratulations to the Marlins. But that was a tough time.
Absolutely.
As far as Cub fandom goes.
Tonight is pretty much the complete opposite.
Yes.
You called this the best win in Cubs history. It probably is in terms of anybody who's alive right now.
Yeah.
I think winning a World Series is technically a bigger win.
Yeah.
But no one here remembers that for sure.
No.
Would you guys like to hear from Theo Epstein?
Yes.
Let's do that.
From after the game, here is Theo.
Yeah, I mean, both ninth innings. If you look at the last two ninth innings, we played pretty good baseball in the ninth inning. As we were saying earlier, hitting before the ninth is overrated. So, but I wouldn't mind if we started mixing in some knocks earlier in the game.
But were you ever worried about how this group would respond to those moments?
No, I mean, we went through it last year. I was just waiting for us to be ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And in a short series, you don't have much time to wake up. So, yeah, our bats woke up just in time.
There is the president, the man who's in charge of this operation and built this lineup that came through in the ninth inning. I'm going to disagree with Theo there. I think he was definitely had some doubt.
Yeah.
The crowd shots, because they kept showing him in the crowd.
That was awesome.
And at one point it looked like he was sick to his stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And was going to throw up.
Yeah, it was great. Hashtag Theo.
I wanted a Theo cam. I wanted in the corner, I wanted Theo cam, or at least like a feed that you could pull up online or something, because those reactions were tremendous.
I was a little disappointed in the Theo Jed hug. I wanted a longer embrace. It's okay, man on man, to get a good hug going on. You just won the DS. Give yourself a long embrace. It was like, oh, yes, we okay, we didn't do that. Let's move along. And him and Jason McLeod, Jed, I believe, was with his wife or girlfriend. Was okay. They, they had the nice hug. I thought that, Theo and Jed could go a little bigger. By the way, I got a lot of new followers, very excited by Tracy Piper and the great Jen Bianchi. And my favorite, Nicholas McGee. Josh Liss, who is picked up from a radio station by the name of WBBM. Josh Liss is the greatest marathon broadcaster I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
I think
well, how many have you heard?
I've listened the last couple of years. The man is incredible at it.
Right. I meant other marathon broadcasters.
Doesn't matter.
But not to take anything away from Josh. I used to be on those broadcasts. Josh does a tremendous job.
It's tremendous.
Yes.
Top tier baseball. My favorite tier of baseball is following now at the Carm. See, that's what happens. You follow me, I talk about you, your life gets better.
Okay. You did.
Top tier baseball's life is better.
Instantly better.
At the Carm, unfollow.
Yeah. Blocked. Blocked. Let's go back out to the phone lines.
You're having a good time.
Sonny. 312. Yeah. How you doing? 312-981-7200. You are on WGN, Sonny.
All right. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. How are you?
Let it out, Sonny.
Yeah, so I'm curious. Like, on Tuesday night, we had some problems with the bullpen. I mean, in my opinion, I'm no
Monday night
editor.
Well, you did have a blown save, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just curious, how do we operate in the next series?
Well, Andy addressed this earlier. He thinks you need to add another arm
to
the postseason roster.
Yeah, because you can change your roster now between series. I would think that there'll be one for sure, maybe two more arms added to the roster.
Can you boil that down a little bit? Like, what do you mean by how do you operate? Are you talking about the eighth inning? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the eighth inning was an implosion, right?
Okay.
How do we avoid that?
Right.
Well, I do think you got to reevaluate if you can go to Chapman for a six-out save. He's now done that three times since Chapman came to the Cubs. He's blown all three.
I don't think you can.
Well, you can't. But the thing that needs to be reevaluated is whether or not Hector Rondon is actually healthy.
Yeah. And the other
fair point.
And even forget about that, right? If he's healthy or not, Carl Edwards Jr. has pitched better than him.
Well, I agree with you, but I'm saying, you know, early in the year, the healthy Hector Rondon when he was even closing was better than he is right now. I just wonder if he's healthy.
So are you saying okay? Are you making?
I'm not saying to get him off the roster.
You're not. Okay.
I'm just saying, listen, you may not be able to depend on him in the eighth. You might be able to bring him in for a big out in, you know, like Terry Francona did the other day with Andrew Miller coming in. You bring him in the fifth inning because sometimes outs in the fifth are as important as they are in the ninth.
It's true.
I'm saying that you're burning through resources rapidly, right? You know, in a weird situation.
Yeah, thanks for the phone call, Sonny. You know, that's fair. I think to bring up he used a lot of pitchers early last night before it went into the extras, and that's why Montgomery had a pitch as long as he did. But all those guys were still available tonight. He went through six pitchers again tonight, I think. But Lackey didn't pitch well; he only went four innings, so that's going to happen.
See, managers in the National League learn this the hard way sometimes. If you're in a tight game, you've got to save somebody who can eat up innings. You have to save somebody for the end of the game that can eat up innings because that's when you see position players pitching. And you're never going to see that in a playoff game unless it's, you know, the last man standing and it's a 30-inning game. But you have to have a guy ready to go, and Montgomery was the designated guy that night. So basically the plan was formulated even after the blown save. Montgomery goes as long as he possibly can. Yeah, he's going to have to hit because you can't hit for him unless, you know, you're going to have to take him out. And Carl Edwards was going to be the second closer. So, you know, obviously it didn't get to that point, but, you know, you do have to manage those resources. You have to figure out what guys are best suited to do and who they're best suited to match up against. And I think a lot of it will depend on exactly who they're going to play, too.
In the meantime, it's worth pointing out that Chapman came in tonight after the blown save, was completely dominant.
Yeah.
13 pitches, 10 strikes. He strikes out the side to end the game, going through Gorky's, Hernandez, Denard Span, and Brandon Belt. Easy inning.
Yep,
and that's
close.
A great bounce back.
Yep. Are we keeping Justin Grimm on the roster?
See, those are the decisions that are going to have to be made. I mean, there's some thought to the, you know, Grimm with the fact that he can throw hard. There's other facts, you know, and just because you and I are on the Trevor Cahill bandwagon, that, you know, I'd like to see another right-handed guy that can get in there and eat up some innings as well late. Again, it's gonna depend a lot on who they're going to play.
I mean, Rondon's stats, if you just look at his stats they're in the series, they're not bad. He got into three games, 1 2/3, one hit, one earned, a walk and two strikeouts.
But some inherited runs that weren't charged to him,
too,
so that's kind of misleading. But, you know, I agree with you, though. It looks a lot worse when things aren't going right, but I've worried about Rondon not just in this playoff series. You know, the last few weeks have been a little because he's coming back from injury.
Yeah.
Three of his last four outings at the end of the year were awful.
Yeah,
and he is, and since coming back off the DL in August, he's been brutal. But I still think he's on that roster. But I think you also got to make a move in the eighth inning. I mean, Carl Edwards. He gave up one hit in two innings, and he's pitched significantly better than Rondon as of late.
No, that's a good point. It's 1:18 in the morning now. We are going till 2 a.m. here on True Blue Playoff Plus. We know some of you are still out celebrating and enjoying the victory, but even if you already saw it earlier, it's worth reliving the highlights. We'll do that when we come back, and we know some of you are probably waking up going to some of your early jobs and slept through the game. So we will relive the ninth inning. A great, unbelievable ninth inning comeback for the Cubs and the young kids. Tonight, this is True Blue Playoff Plus. Back here on True Blue Playoff Plus, the Cubs move on to the NLCS with a dramatic ninth-inning comeback. Carmen couldn't believe it was as it was happening. He had no faith whatsoever.
I love the Ben Zobrist theme song. Let's get that. That is such a good, solid, makes you feel good when you're in the park moment. Benny Zobrist with the biggest hit of the night, right?
Oh, yeah.
One run double.
They held Rizzo at second. We'll take you through it right now and go through the entire ninth inning, which started with Chris Bryant leading off.
That's the area you've got to be caught careful.
And the base hit for Chris Bryant. Leadoff hitter aboard here in the top of the ninth.
That was a seeing I seen.
So Law loses Bryant, and Bruce Bochy makes what may be the first of a couple of ninth inning pitching changes.
Seeing eye single.
Yeah, no flag waving right there, or a little towel waving for Derek Law tonight.
That was so enjoyable.
By the way, these highlights, Matt Vaskirjian and John Smoltz on FS1 tonight. So Chris Bryant with a leadoff single, exactly what you needed to get some kind of confidence rolling the way Matt Moore had been just burning through this lineup. And you brought up Andy early in the show. Maybe they should have kept Matt Moore in, even though he was at 120 pitches. It's a fair question. All right, so Anthony Rizzo up next, and we know he's been struggling in this series. But turned things around tonight, had a walk in the first, a single in the fourth, struck out in the sixth. So here he comes up with Bryant at first, and he had a great at-bat and laid off some tough pitches to walk. So that put runners at first and second. Nobody out for Ben Zobrist.
The 3-1 lined into right field. That'll rattle around. Bryant scores easily. Rizzo held it third. And it's a two-run ball game with nobody out in the ninth.
Swinging on 3-1, which was interesting to see his approach because Ben Zobrist was off earlier in the night. He had no idea what was going on with Matt Moore, and obviously a lot more comfortable there. And the Rizzo at-bat before that, he swung at a 3-1 pitch that was out of the zone. I was highly irritated at that moment. But then he was able to lay off another pitch out of the zone to walk and set up what was a great at-bat by Ben Zobrist.
Yep. Yeah, and this was now when Romo was in the game, correct?
Sergio Romo.
He gave up the hit to Zobrist, who, you know, it was interesting that Romo didn't come in right away if they were going to keep Moore out. I mean, some of these decisions, the way, because Bruce Bochy burned through five pitchers in this inning.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredible to watch. So now comes the moment that Mark Carmen loves, I think, more than any other moment in the game. So after Zobrist, timeout. I'm trying to reel it. Get this right.
Okay.
Is this what forced Romo in the game, actually?
Romo
came in right after the first hit by Bryant.
Yeah, and then they...
No, because Lopez was in there for a batter.
Oh, yeah, Lopez was the one that walked Rizzo.
That's right.
Yeah.
So Romo came in.
Romo was on to... He was going to face... All I know, whoever... They brought in Will Smith faced Contreras. That's all.
That's what it was. So Romo faced Zobrist. Sorry, this was all really confusing moves by Bruce Bochy. Yeah. We're trying to work ourselves through it. But, yeah, so Zobrist faced Romo. And then you have Addison Russell due up. And Joe Maddon puts Chris Coughlin on deck and makes that move. And that forces the pitching change from Bruce Bochy. Which creates the matchup that Joe Maddon really wanted. So he burned through two players here to get Will Smith facing Wilson Contreras, and this is what happened.
Will Smith was actually stingier against right-handed hitting during the regular season. Back up the middle and through. Rizzo scores. Here's Zobrist, and the Cubs have tied it here in the ninth.
Just incredible right there. Great managing. You get the result that you can't control at that point if you're Joe Maddon, obviously. But another young kid comes through with a big hit.
I would think that Bruce Bochy is having a whiskey somewhere right now thinking, why in the world did I not allow Romo to face Chris Coughlin? Because, and listen, Wilson Contreras didn't exactly rip that ball. It was more of a seeing eye single. But regardless, if it's me and I have the opportunity of Wilson Contreras against Will Smith or Chris Coughlin against Sergio Romo, I'm going, if I'm Bochy, I'm taking Romo against Coughlin all day. I think he overthought it. He overthought that, right?
Yeah, probably. So now you have your big prize free agent. One of them already comes through Zobrist with the double. Now Jason Hayward's up. Mark Harmon's favorite player on the entire team, Jason Hayward.
Nice guy.
That is not what you said in the moment. That was not what you said in the moment. So Hayward comes up with Contreras at first, and he bunts. And this is what happened in a very odd bunt.
Hayward bunting. Smith will go to second. They cut down the lead man. Throw to first is offline. Hayward's on his way to second. The go-ahead run in scoring position now.
A bunt straight back to the pitcher.
But it ended up working out.
Should have been a double play.
One out of the man at second. That's what you wanted to have, right?
Well, also, I mean, Brandon Crawford is a gold glove shortstop.
I don't know what was going on there.
I mean, if you're a Giants fan, this is all you're talking about right now. I mean, that should have been.
Hey, Contreras was running hard. It was not a late slide. It was a really good slide. But when you see this kid coming down the line, rushed the throw.
I guess that had to be a factor there, but it wasn't like he was, you know, he didn't get cracked on.
No, and it was way offline. It was up the first baseline, up towards the outfield.
Right.
And it is true that at that moment, somebody might have been yelling, "You can't even get a bunt down."
That's exactly, I think, what you said.
I mean,
it's the old school sacrifice yourself to second base.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a great play.
No, I didn't mind that he had him bunt. I would have had him bunt too. I'd have him bunt almost every time he comes up at this point. Just lay it down. And I'd bet him eighth too. Hello, there's a change you can make, Joe Maddon. If you want to play Jason Hayward in right field, okay, he's the eighth hitter.
But then you wouldn't have had David Ross's home run in the eighth spot tonight, or the sacrifice fly in the eighth spot.
He's got a point there.
I mean, I don't really know.
I see your point. I understand what you're saying. So Hayward ends up on second base here. And instead of having nobody on and two outs, you have one out and a runner in scoring position for Javi Baez, who gets a chance to face Hunter Chapman, the guy who threw at him during game two. Well, Javi got his revenge.
Strickland in front, nothing and two. Trying to keep that go-ahead run at bay. Baez singles back up the middle. Hayward's being waved around, and Chicago has taken a 6-5 lead.
I called him Hunter Chapman. It's Strickland.
We knew what you meant.
Hunter Strickland with the giving up the single right there to Javi Baez as the Cubs take the lead. David Ross would go on to hit and do a double play for you, Carmen, to end that inning. But the Cubs got what they needed. They got the 6-5 lead, and Chapman, the Cubs closer, shut it down in the ninth.
I actually felt zero anxiety in the bottom of the ninth.
Me neither.
I mean, he was in control, right?
Very much so. And it was funny, this quote coming out from Bruce Bochy. With the way the ball bounced that last inning, I hate to use the word destiny, but that's quite a comeback they mounted there.
Okay, Bruce.
Bruce Bochy.
True. I mean, I think Cubs fans are having that feeling right now. We'll take a timeout, get a check of news, keep it rolling until 2 a.m. This is True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGM.
Visiting fans raising the W. Back-to-back NLCS appearances for the winningest team in baseball this year. And for the San Francisco Giants, they simply ran out of even year magic.
Hashtag fly the W. That even year thing was just...
Yeah, you're right.
It was old.
Fine.
It was tired.
Coincidence.
It had to come to an end.
Just doing a little math over here. The Chicago Cubs versus the Washington Nationals, 5-2. The Chicago Cubs versus the LA Dodgers, 4-3.
Which one's better?
5-2.
Okay. Good job.
Let's play the Nats. Deep analysis.
I was just trying to figure out what math you were doing.
Yeah.
What?
The new math. The car math.
Actually, that's a good question to ask right now as we get into the final half hour of True Blue Playoff Plus here on 720 WGN. Adam Hogue with Mark Carmen, Andy Mazur, 312-981-7200. Still time to chime in. Who would you rather play at this point, the Washington Nationals or the Los Angeles Dodgers, who will play a Game 5 on Thursday in Washington?
Bring it on. I think you probably would rather play the Nationals. They're a little more beat up. The Dodgers are heavily left-handed. That could be a problem.
I'm going to disagree only on one aspect and one person only. Who's on the Nationals right now? Daniel Murphy.
That's a good point.
I don't want to see him in an NLCS ever again.
That's a great point. That's probably the best point I've heard in the last 24 hours as people talk about this. We do want to hear from Javi Baez, who was very entertaining with his glove work tonight,
yeah.
His gum work tonight.
If you haven't seen the vine of Javi Baez catching his gum, just Google it or whatever you need to do. You need to watch it.
It's great. We'll take your phone calls on also with whether you'd rather see the Nationals or the Dodgers. But first, here's Javi Baez after the game in the locker room.
Javi, on that ninth inning rally, just kind of how wild was it or controlled was it in the dugout as you guys were building to that? And when you come back and win in the ninth inning of a game like this, does it make it feel like this is our year?
It is. Not because this game, but, you know, since day one, we came to play hard. And, you know, after two wins, I said we're going to come back to the third game and play like it's the first one. It was a really good game, and, you know, they got to us, and they got that W with the walk-off. Today, we didn't give up. Their pitcher, he threw out that great game. He was hitting his spot. He was getting to us, and he threw eight innings. You know, obviously, we just make their bullpen pay.
Okay, another question in the back to the right.
You guys had such a heart-wrenching loss last night. It's got to be really gratifying to come through the way you guys did, scoring with four runs in the ninth inning, and now you guys are going on to the NLCS. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think the game of baseball is a game that is 27 outs. You know, we can't give up because we're down. We were fighting and fighting till we finally got two men on base, and Wilson came in and tied the game.
Another one right here, Phil.
Javi, on the ground ball by Denard Span, could you just take us through, you know, it seemed like it was hard just to get to the ball and then to get up and make the throw as quick as you did. And in the end, what did you feel like when the replay went the way it did?
Oh, first of all, I was praying to be that it was going to be out. You know, he was a leadoff hitter that he can get down the line pretty much. Pretty good. And you know, I was playing pretty deep, and I was surprised I got to that ball, and even more surprised that it was that close.
Javi Baez's post-game press conference in San Francisco, and what you don't hear there, our own Kevin Powell asked him in the locker room what pitch he saw on his game-winning hit in the ninth inning, and he said, quote, "Fastball, you can't throw that pitch to me." Well, confidence from the young kid.
Well, and more than that, I mean, the count was 0-2. Pitch was right over the plate. That was not the best moment for Hunter Strickland, and Javi took advantage. Go Javi Baez.
Who, by the way, again, I'll bring it up because I love this stuff. Hunter Strickland threw at him.
Mm-hmm.
Game two, he threw at him. Didn't like how he's posing for his near home runs and home runs, which was a problem earlier in the series. But also, that, you know, hey, that's a storyline here. I love how Joe Maddon handled that situation with Javi Baez. This kid's too good. He has to be in the lineup. He has to start.
Yep.
The defense, the offense, everything about him is great. But he's got it. He cannot have moments like that later on in the playoffs where he's staring at, admiring a shot that wasn't actually a home run and then gets thrown out at second base. And Joe just, you know, very matter-of-fact, gave him a fist bump.
Yeah.
And, you know, gave him a look, too. And let's see how it plays out the rest of the playoffs with this kid.
Do you think that the Cubs in general are rather happy that they didn't send packing the last of the Jim Hendry draft choices?
You know they are.
I mean, this kid was rumored to be in every deal. He was even going to the NFL, I think. I mean, they were ready to trade him to anybody.
The Bears could use it.
Yeah, he's fast. He's got a little...
He can play safety.
Yeah, I like that. But you think they're happy they held on to this kid?
Well, and it's interesting that Theo made a point of crediting Jim Hendry both for drafting Javi Baez and for signing Wilson Contreras. Those are two guys from mm-hmm. the Hendry holdover. Not a lot left, but those are two major contributors on this team. And
the biggest hits tonight.
Yeah. Well, it's a classy move by Theo to give credit to his predecessor, who had his warts, but also got the Cubs as close as they've gotten. You give Hendry credit for that. I mean,
well, and it was totally different ownership.
That's,
you know, Hendry did it the way that he could with that ownership and did a lot of good things.
Right, especially late in his tenure.
And they max it out, and you know what? The players didn't perform.
Yeah,
they had no business getting swept in back-to-back years the way they did. And ultimately, that's not his fault that it ended the way it did. But I think Cubs obviously rightly moved on and have the, you know, took the right approach to build this the correct way.
Early in Hendry's tenure, too, he made some great deals.
Yeah, the Kenny Lofton deal.
Mark Grudzielanek.
Aramis
Ramirez.
They got Mark Grudzielanek and Eric Karros for nothing.
Yep.
Todd Hundley. Yeah. I'm looking at the rotations that the Cubs are going to face, right? So the Nationals' best pitcher is Max Scherzer, who in his one start against the Dodgers lasted six innings, gave up five hits, four. Now that's one start, but that's where I like looking.
He'll be pitching on Thursday.
And he's going to pitch game
so
five.
So he won't be pitching till game three.
Right. Tanner Roark, Gio Gonzalez, Joe Ross. It ain't overpowering team.
Roark is an Illinois kid. He went to University of Illinois.
So you can definitely beat him then.
Yeah.
He started one game in the series. Roark lasted four and a third.
Says the Wisconsin man.
they have Melanson, who was formerly the closer of the Pirates.
Correct.
That the Nationals traded for at the deadline. And Repchimski used to be a lefty reliever for the Cardinals. He's been around all over the place. And they've got Sammy Solis.
Former University of San Diego guy. He and Bryant were teammates.
He pitches often. And so those are some names to know. And then the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw pitched on 3 days rest today.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a whole lot of Clayton. Rich Hill, the former Cub, who picks up a blister every time he touches a baseball. And who else do they got?
Kenta Maeda.
Right. Oh, Kenta Maeda.
The White Sox shelled Rich Hill on like the second or third game of the season.
I mean, starting wise, the Cubs are going to have the edge in both series.
Julio Urias, the young kid.
Yeah. Julio Urias.
Wait, Rich Hill opened the season, I think, for the...
He was with the A's.
I think he pitched opening night. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
I think he did.
That feels so long ago. Remember the Cubs and the White Sox opening the season at 9 p.m. on the West Coast, both of them?
And the Cubs against an American League team.
And I think the national championship game was the same night
in
basketball.
I think you're right.
It was all at the same time, and I was really annoyed. And now here we are in the NLCS.
And things are grand.
One thing that will get confusing if they do play the Dodgers is the Dodgers do have a righty out of their pen by the name of Pedro Baez.
Yes.
Okay.
Who, by the way,
does he wear number 9?
Takes forever.
Ever. This guy, I tell you what, Usain Bolt could run 4 races in the time it takes this guy to throw a pitch after he gets it back from the catcher.
And you're probably accurate.
It's ridiculous.
We'll take our last time out here, guys. We'll come back. Got a couple more phone calls to get to. 312-981-7200. We'll wrap things up. I guess we'll make our pick for who the Cubs should be facing here. And really, just the outlook for the next series. Because I stand by it. Cubs are the best team. They should win. They definitely should not get swept like they did last year. We'll revisit that. Because Mark Carmen had an interesting reaction last year when the Cubs got swept that I still can't get over. And I think it's time we change that attitude, Mark. We will get to that. 720 WGA.
It's a shorter plane ride. A couple time zone changes coming out west. No Andrew with the Dodgers. Andrew Friedman and our friends. I mean, it's all this kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. Because when you start worrying about who you're going to play, it could bite you. Because it really shouldn't matter. We played both groups all this year. We played decently against both. It's a different time of the year. I'm just happy to be in the dance.
Boy, if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, and I imagine there's not many of you listening, but the potential of an NLCS with Andrew Friedman up against Joe Maddon. Remember, that's why the Cubs ended up with Joe.
Yeah.
Andrew left. There was an out. Now, is that true that Joe really didn't know that out was in there?
I think that is true.
I got to take him at his word. It's the story that
I mean, his
was
agent
told
definitely
everybody.
Knew.
Yeah, well, his agent's a sharp guy.
I mean, it seems like...
Alan Nero, I believe is his
name. It seems like you would know if your boss has an out in his contract, you can get out of yours, too. But I guess if there's a guy who wouldn't know, who, you know, really has laser focused on and living life and not really worrying about that stuff, it would be Joe.
You got to give the Cubs credit on that. They had Ricky Renteria under contract, who's now your White Sox manager. But
don't remind me.
But they felt like this was an elite guy, and they went out and got him. And I know, Andy, you have history with Ricky.
Yeah.
He was a coach in San
Diego. I like Ricky.
Hey, you know the thing
I'm
about
just
it?
Like,
the thing about it is and
do
it,
some interviews.
It's funny. I talked to Ricky after last year, after the NLCS went the way it did, and because somebody wanted to write a story on him and his impact on what this Cubs team turned out to be last year, and his fingerprints were on it. I mean, with Starlin Castro giving Rizzo some confidence, with the back end of the bullpen guys that were coming in, knowing roles and not feeling that they were going to get pulled out of a game. But to his credit, he's a classy guy. He said, "Listen, this is their time. I'm done. You know, I'm not involved." And you know, you might be surprised.
I was on the other side of town.
Yeah,
that's not a great look for the White Sox. With all due respect, maybe he'll do well. Right now, it looks kind
of
ugly.
Know. He's a good baseball
player. I don't have a problem with the hire. I have a problem with the process of the hire.
Yep.
Let me put it that way. All right, let's take our last phone call tonight on the True Blue Playoff Plus. Scott, you're up.
Hello, gentlemen. First of all, I like your show. You guys are like the 1-2 punch. I'm from Wisconsin. We've got the Brewers. But I want to congratulate both of you and the Cubs for winning. And also, I got a question. How long is Joe Maddon contracted for, and what is his price? And I thank you very much, and best of luck.
Thank you, Scott.
5 and 25.
5 for 25, my brother.
Yep.
And he ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, don't lock him up.
Unless, lock it up.
Unless Joe Maddon at some point will be the guy that's going to want to ride off into the sunset. He doesn't need to.
He likes
this
too much. He enjoys this too much.
But right. So,
and the money's pretty good too.
He's having a nice time. He's making dough. He's keeping balance in his life. And he's hopefully going to win at least one, if not more, World Series.
Plus, tactically, I already think we would all agree he's one of the greatest managers ever. But you add a World Series championship with the Chicago Cubs, maybe more than one.
Yeah.
Mr. Guy who's talking about three-peats over there. I mean, he's up there with the all-time best.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about the magic number that the Cubs are down to 8. It is true, that is 8, but I also have it at 30.
Andre Dawson.
8 for Dawson, 30 for, let's think about that, great number 30s, Andy Mazur.
Chuck Rainey.
Tim Raines? Didn't he?
Rock, yeah, I think,
Rock
wore
was
30.
30, yeah.
Yep. 30 for the three-peat.
Tim Raines.
Love Tim Raines.
Chuck Rainey and Tim Raines in the same sentence.
Tim Raines was the best left fielder I've ever seen in my life when he was a White Sox. Where's that guy tonight? I miss Hawk. Bring him back.
He's checking on.
He was all. You know what's
Kyle Hendricks.
You know what is amazing? The most amazing part of this post game show tonight is that we did not even say the name Connor Gillespie.
Oh my God. We would have been talking about him for 2.5 hours had the Cubs lost this game.
And was he 4 for 4 tonight?
He was 4 for 4 tonight. It was so Cub.
I was losing my mind in here.
That's the guy who hit third for the White Sox for 43 games in, 2014, was absolutely killing the Cubs a la Daniel Murphy.
Yep.
And then we were going to have the Hawk moment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you something about Connor Gillespie. He's better than Chris Bryant. That was going
to
happen.
He probably said that to himself somewhere in Indiana watching this game.
That's good stuff.
The way he uses a whole field, you think Chris Bryant can go foul line to foul line the way Connor Gillespie can?
You think Hawk understands the concept of war? Is he got war?
No.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
TWTW.
Okay, Carm, before we got here.
Yeah.
Last year, as we did these shows, the Cubs lost in the NLCS. They lost in 4 straight games. And I will never forget thinking, all right, here we go. How are these, I don't even remember how many hours we did. But what is Carm going to be like here? You were amazingly calm. Amazingly upbeat. Did not really seem to care that the Cubs had gotten swept. I was the one on the show, because it wasn't just you. It was callers. It was the overall reaction. And I get it. I get it, you know, stepping back and looking at 2015 and understanding that that was a phenomenal season and you had gone way over expectations.
Mm-hmm. A year early, probably.
But in that moment on that night, I could not believe there was not more anger, because you guys got absolutely smoked in four straight games.
Yeah, well, they were so out of the series that it was just easy to disengage.
Because you knew they were going to lose. You knew they weren't coming back and winning four.
Yeah, and it was just, last year was so out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And to beat the Cardinals, which I never would have thought would have happened.
Me neither.
I just thought that it was a phenomenal season, and they were worthy of praise, and the future was bright. And
let's set the expectations clear, though.
No, the expectations
World Series or bust?
For me, it's not even about getting to the World Series.
That's what I'm saying, winning the World Series.
Right. Anything else would be a disappointment this year. Bottom line. So we'll see. They're set up to do it. They are going to be well rested again. The rotation's going to be set. They're going to have home field.
That could be the biggest thing too. Getting the reset.
What unfolded today was huge.
Yeah,
because not only do you win, but the other series went to game five.
Yeah, and you get some time. You get a little time to heal up. Kyle Hendricks gets a couple extra days not to have to worry about throwing. And now you get to set it up for a seven-game series, based upon a seven-game series.
Yeah, and you know what? With Hendricks' injury, I would think that they would move Arrieta up to the two slot.
If it needs to be.
Yeah, you're in a seven-game set, so you can have Lester in one and five.
And maybe seven.
And available for seven. And then you've got Arrieta in two and six. And you could have Hendricks for three and seven. It doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter.
It's a good situation to be in.
It's a very good situation.
Should we take one more call?
Sure.
Jimmy, you can close things out here on True Blue.
Hey, guys. Jimmy from Steger, who used to bring his big boombox to the left field bleachers. Guys, you just made me want to vomit real quick. You mentioned Cubs playoffs and Hawk Harrelson in the same sentence. I just want to vomit.
I thought you were going to say Connor Gillespie made you vomit. But
Jimmy?
Hey, I'd rather hear Connor Gillespie, because at least he actually played on the field and actually had a clue.
Jimmy?
Hawk Harrelson, stay away. We don't want you. Stay away.
Jimmy?
Oh, no.
I'll be rooting for the Dodgers. Or the Nationals.
Nationals, guys, because Scherzer, thank God, that game on Thursday will go about 15 innings, and Scherzer left the pitch. So take the Nationals, and we'll beat up their pitching staff. No problem.
All right, thanks for the phone call, Jimmy. Thanks, we got to get out of here, take our last break. Good way to end it, though. We did bring Hawk in.
Jimmy? Jimmy?
Yeah.
Jimmy? Daggummit.
It's True Blue. Playoff Plus, 720 WGN.